So this poses another conceptual question about Buddhism. In what sense is it possible to say that I am the same person now that I was 10 minutes ago or in a past life? Obviously, Buddhists would like to assert some kind of identity from one moment to the next, if they can, but it shouldn't be an identity that ties them down too much. It shouldn't assert any kind of permanence, because this permanence dissolves as the personality changes. So here you find in Buddhist texts a very interesting and I think very wise equivocation. It's possible for me to say that I am the same person I was before in a certain kind of metaphorical way, in the same way that I could say that a candle flame that I light in front of me here as I lecture is the same 5 minutes from now as it was when I say I first lit the candle. When we say that it's the same flame, what we really mean is that there's a causal connection that links the flames. It's not identical. The gases themselves have burned. Something has changed. Sameness is a construct, you might say, a concept that I apply to that flame in order to designate the causal connection that links one moment in the flame to another. So I can speak about myself as being the same person, but it's something like a metaphor, a conventional designation, like the way I designate the identity of a candle flame enduring from one moment to the next. Ultimately speaking, it is not the same flame, and I am not the same person. I have no identity that endures from one moment to the next. So the ultimate Buddhist claim about the nature of the self is that it is transient and constantly changeable. It's the fundamental Buddhist insight about the nature of the world. There is no permanent identity that moves from one moment to the next. And this is about as deep as you can go into the Buddhist concept of suffering. When they say that all is suffering, they mean, of course, that some things are painful. They mean also that some things are impermanent, that all things are impermanent and pass away. But what they mean in the most fundamental sense is that there is no permanent reality that gives anything any identity that endures from one moment to the next. It's the great Buddhist doctrine of no self. So the question that we posed at the very beginning of our discussion about suffering, this question about pessimism, comes down to the doctrine of no self. Are Buddhists pessimistic when they say that there is no self? That's the question. In a way, you could say that they are, because obviously there are lots of things we hold on to in this world that we really like, that are associated in one way or another with this personality we're terribly fond of and anxious to protect. And when that's stripped away, it begins to feel like a negative experience. It can be harsh in some kinds of situations. But it doesn't take too much thought, I think, to realize that it's not so much pessimistic as it's realistic. The truth is, we change. Life passes. The experiences of 6 months ago or 10 years ago are gone. And if we try to hold on to them, they're going to cause us some kind of suffering. And it's this realization that things are impermanent and the ability to let go of stuff that has changed and become part of our past that makes the doctrine of suffering buoyant, light, and easy, and can be expressed in one way or another in that exquisite smile the Dalai Lama brings to so many of his teachings. To recognize that there is no self, in the end, is not to lose anything important. It's simply to let go of the frustration and the attachment that brings suffering to this world. And in that sense, this extraordinary claim, all is suffering, becomes a claim about freedom, about buoyancy, about lightness, and about, in the end, nirvana. It's nirvana that will be the topic of our next lecture.